Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hulgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And, I think we were all ramped up to talk about UFC 218, and then, what is going on this week? Like, seriously.
It's very interesting because you and I had a scheduling conflict yesterday. We are trying to be more adamant about getting this thing out regularly. And we're like, Thursdays. There was just a confluence of events, push this thing back, which may have been serendipity because we've got all kinds of stuff going on now between what's happening in the UFC 221 main event. I'm trying to keep these straight because we booked two main events this week, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
We did.
We booked two main events this week, everything with GSP. And now, right before we decided to basically go on the air and do the podcast, we've got a fight for Conor McGregor. And it's not one any of us really had on the radar at this point.
No, and unfortunately, it appears that Jeff Horn was otherwise booked, so he could not fight Conor McGregor. I'm totally kidding. Totally kidding.
Who's Jeff Horn? What is that?
He's the guy that...
Oh, he's the ref.
No,
he's the ref?
He's the Australian school teacher that beat Manny Pacquiao last on those terrible scorecards.
All right, look, I understand you are going to be the intellectual MMA insider here on this show, but I think you were digging real deep on that reference.
I think the three people that get that one will enjoy it greatly.
They will love it. They will love it.
They will.
Congratulations to both of you. I'm not even going to go to three. I'm going to go to both of you.
So the rumor earlier today was that it's Conor McGregor, Manny Pacquiao. That has firmed up a little bit. We'll call it wet cement at this point. That will be April when Pacquiao is done with his legislative duties, and that will open it up. My guess is...
that's right. He's busy outlawing homosexuals in the Philippines.
Yes, he's busy...
Allegedly.
He's busy welcoming everyone into his country.
Right.
And by everyone, I mean... A very
butt
specific...
plug so that they can't be gay.
Yes.
That's what you get with a Friday night show, by the way.
So that's what he's doing. My guess is probably, you and I have covered, I would say, 15 to 20 of these, certainly Floyd fights. And my guess is it's not April, it's May, right? Like,
well, I don't know. Neither of them are Hispanic. They always seem to like throw a Hispanic dude on Cinco de Mayo.
No, I know that, but like it always feels like May is like a way, I don't know, it feels like in boxing, May is like a month where they want to do that stuff.
But that was always because Floyd fought usually a Mexican guy or a Hispanic guy.
True,
and
true.
He would always do it on Cinco de Mayo, and he'd come out like in half a Mexican flag because he thought it was funny, and he'd make $1 billion, and he'd move along to his next fight. So I don't know.
So right now it's tentatively April. Nothing is confirmed, but it's been a lot more solid in the last 6 hours that you will have Conor McGregor and Manny Pacquiao in April of 2018. And like, while I think Manny was on very little people's radars, this makes a lot of sense. Because I know Ken...
Whoa.
No. Hang on. hang on before you get crazy.
Within the context of insanity, it makes sense?
Well, no. Within the context of what we're dealing with, the fact that he didn't come back to the UFC makes sense to me.
I'll give you all of that, which is kind of insane at this point.
Yeah, like you and I had talked that like... When you get $100 million, and the rumored number that Ken and I had read and talked to people in and around the UFC ecosystem was that they were trying to figure out $20 million, the number they had to get him into an octagon. And guys, and we'll talk about GSP and Bisping at length in quite a bit, but like when that pay-per-view is barely breaking 880,000 pay-per-view buys, right? $20 million is a lot of money for this organization that, as we talked about last week, and we're not going to do that again this week, you can go back and listen to last week's show, they're not doing well. So asking them to take on another $20 million in debt, which essentially would be a $16 million increase to some...
Okay, but that's not debt, though. That's salary. That's fighter salary, and that's worth it. We'll do the math in a minute.
Okay, I don't know how you make that back, so I'm calling it debt. If you want to argue with me and say that they're going to invest in Bitcoin and that's how they're going to pay for it, then we can do that later if you want to. But to me, if you're like you're topping out at $4 million for a card, $20 million is a lot of money to shell out. An extra $16 million, you know,
okay,
in,
but
in salary, not
let's
that
say
high.
Let's say though Conor McGregor pulls in $1.5 million, which I don't think is unheard of for Conor, but
sure.
And I get it, it's on the high end. I just did my quick public school math here. That's $75 million at $49.99 a pay-per-view. I get entirely that probably, what, 33 to 45% goes to the providers because everything's not internet now.
Correct.
Everything goes to the bottom line if it's internet. So if they're lucky enough to get UFC TV buys, they get the $49.99 themselves. So let's say out of that $75 million, what are we going to multiply that by? We're going to multiply that by 0.6?
Okay.
To give that to UFC. So we're at 45 million dollars or so.
So okay. So
I don't think it's unfair. I think what's happening is the UFC ecosystem isn't used to paying a fighter nearly half of what they're going to bring in on pay-per-view revenue.
Well, cuz no one running a business would think that was a good idea.
Unless you're in the fight business where one guy can actually make you the money.
Maybe, right? Like, so, okay.
I'm asking you. You're the smarter one.
Well, no, I would never say that. What I guess the argument I'm having is, so who is he going to fight that will make it worth that investment? Because I think he is
now the guy that can pull the numbers in almost with anybody. Obviously, you can't put him in there against any slug, but you could put him in there against Nate Diaz. You could decide whether or not you want to have this lightweight division or
you can't do that anymore, right?
No.
Well, I mean,
oh, that's true.
Ferguson's out. Ferguson's out. So what would you do there?
You can do anything you want. It's Conor McGregor. I mean, I feel like he can make a fight at this point. At this point, you're going to pay money to see him back in the cage. That's one. That's the one silver lining the UFC's got as far as the fact that he hasn't come back yet is that when he does come back, you're going to be able to sell it on that fact, which is going to be very interesting.
Okay, I will give you that, but I guess so even if we're playing with your math and we're playing with your logic that we see that this gentleman can pull in all of the numbers for the pay-per-view, therefore he's worth the investment of 49% of our total revenue for this pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view revenue, that's not ticket
yes.
revenue.
Right. I'm using it in a silo. Pay-per-view revenue, we're going to give him half of it. But they didn't do that, Ken. They didn't do that.
Oh, I understand that. But here's my question. When we do that math with other fighters, are they making as much money? I don't think so. I mean,
no.
maybe with Bisping GSP, they're doing okay, because I'm guessing, what, GSP probably got like five out of that deal. I don't think Bisping probably got maybe got like two or three. I mean, these are just random-ass ballpark guesses with what I've known about the business for a little bit. But I could be entirely off. And again, you could always goose all of this with pay-per-view points and all of that. Problem is, boxing's built on the main event. So those guys can take most all of the money. You've got McGregor Promotions. I forget exactly what he calls it. McGregor Entertainment. Whatever was on the sign.
Yeah. Yep.
Mayweather Promotions. So, I mean, he's a guy who's looking for a piece of things at this point, and that could be why we haven't seen him back yet. I think the more interesting thing, and we're definitely going to get into this in just a couple of minutes, is looking at the fact that once GSP said, hey, I'm out because of this, boom, they immediately set up a title match. Conor McGregor now has not fought since, what, early 2016, right?
Correct, yes.
That's his last UFC fight.
Well, I think they're learning. And so to take a step back, just so everyone has the numbers that they can play with while we're talking through this, for UFC 217, George St. Pierre walked away with a reported, right? There's an unreported number, guys, and there's a reported number. The reported number is $2.5 million. Bisping made $500,000.
And I'm guessing that other end of the bonuses and, hey, whatever's in your mailbox puts them at like 5-2.
Sure. Whatever it is. But the reported that I'm looking at, right? So Garbrandt and Dillashaw clear about $600,000 together. Rose gets $230,000 for her all in. Joanna gets $160,000 for her all in, and so forth and so on. Right. So, the top of the card, call it $5 million total.
Right.
And you know, even that brings you an attendance of 18.2 and a pay per view buy of 887 and some change.
Okay, And just to clarify, too, the Eddie Alvarez win with Connor was just over a year ago. I was kind of getting my years mixed up.
Yeah.
My apologies.
All good. All good.
But, yeah, he hasn't fought in over a year at this point. So it could be a year and 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, depending on how things work out here at this point. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, well, and I think if we're going to do Manny Pacquiao in April, again, like, if he has a decent showing, if he stops Manny, if something crazy happens, like...
I think he could... Look, I don't want to get into this too much.
I don't either, but...
I think he could beat Manny Pacquiao. I honestly
okay,
do.
But then...
That's a mess now.
Does he ever come back then?
No, I don't think he does, because you know what? In boxing, you can make a lot more money. And we've said that over and over and over again. And I love UFC because of the way the promotion makes the big fights and is able to make the big fights. But there's been no question, the way that boxing is set up politically and economically, that you can make more money if you are a top-tier fighter. Problem is, most guys don't have that quote-unquote Conor McGregor shortcut, where they can talk a guy into the fight against arguably the best boxer who's ever lived. Conor talked his way into that. And I said this, if you want to go digging out podcasts, you talked about last week, hell, let's talk about a year ago, 2 years ago. Start digging out podcasts. I told you, if Conor talks his way into this fight, it's going to be a tough situation for the UFC, because he's talked his way not only into that money, but residuals and money against other fighters. And if he does well, boom, boom, boom. Well, whether or not Floyd Mayweather carried him, as he said this past week, to a good fight, that was a good fight visually, watching it, seeing what happened. Boxing purists probably hated it, but you and I were sitting there as casual fans like, you know what? This was worth the money. We had four or five guys there. We all chip in. Yeah, good, cool. This is worth our $20-25 tonight.
Well, I'm 100%, and I guess I would say, was it great for the sport? No, but it told a great story, and you just mentioned Floyd is still talking about him.
Yes.
Right? So his name,
just this week.
Just this week, still talking about him. So whatever you want to say, you carried him, you built the promotion around him, whatever you want to do, you're still talking about a guy who's should be irrelevant to you at this point since you beat him, right? But you're not, and you're making this Pacquiao thing come to fruition because he's still showing up on SportsCenter bylines. He's still showing up on promotional arms in Sweden when Floyd Mayweather shows up. I mean, like, what is the purpose of talking about Conor McGregor when you're in Sweden, right? Like, how does that even
You know
come
what
up?
The purpose is? Do you not think Mayweather Promotions is going to be sitting on that marquee Conor McGregor has another fight? Are you insane?
I mean, remember, I'm the one who hosts a podcast called Everything is Marketing. So, yeah, I know why he's actually doing it in Sweden. I know why. But, like...
Where can we download that podcast there?
iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, where... we know why he's doing it, because he's got an arm in this thing. And I think you said it probably midway through their promo arm. Like, for the first time in Floyd's career, he had met a guy who could do some of the water carrying for him. So he didn't have to sell the whole thing himself. He just puts Connor out there and lets Connor do his thing. And if you don't think that dude saw money, no pun intended, that if he gets him to do something else, maybe those two never fight again. But if he's got his arm in it and can make this Pacquiao thing happen or have a hand in it, why wouldn't he want to do that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's one of those situations where it's interesting because you we're talking here. We're what, 10 minutes into this podcast?
Yep.
And this week, the UFC has booked two main events and had a UFC champion bow out and basically vacate his title. And we're talking about Conor McGregor. That says a whole freaking lot about Conor McGregor and his ability to draw dollars. And that's why I go back to that math I did earlier. Yeah, it sucks for the UFC compared to what they used to do, but compared to what they're doing now and what they're able to do, I think you got to pay Conor. I mean, at some point you got to pay Conor because he can do it for you. And I get it. Dana White doesn't want to be the guy to set that precedent, especially with new bosses, especially with guys just spend $4 billion and are going, hey, are we going to get that $4 billion back, or what's going on?
The answer is no.
I will say this. I agree 100%. Answer is 100% no, you're not going to get that money back if you're thinking you're going to get that back in 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe even 10 years. I don't know what kind of owners these are. I don't want to paint with a broad brush with corporate media ownership, but I imagine that's what they thought was happening, and the Fertittas are laughing all the way to the bank at this point.
Yes. So, yeah. So, I mean, this is the big Conor news. And again, we've got a card tomorrow night that we will touch on briefly between Brian Ortega and Cub Swanson at the top of that card. The rest of it.
That's why everybody's tuned in.
I'm leaning into what you're talking about, right? Like, there's a card tonight that, or sorry, tomorrow night that we're essentially going to blow by, right? Because this sport this week got super crazy after last week's pay-per-view. Just got super nuts.
All right, so I guess that would be a good transition. I mean, I feel like GSP is a little bigger, but we should probably get to Francis Ngannou and the way he damn near killed Alistair Overeem inside the cage.
My God. Like, you have no idea. So, guys, just for some context, Ken and I were not able to watch the event together, and I knew Ken was hunting, so I knew, Ken, you didn't watch it live, right?
No, I saw it the next morning.
Okay, so, like, it took everything in my power, friends, everything in my power not to text him as that thing's happening, because that was the craziest thing I think I've seen in the 23 years I've watched this sport.
Overeem got Uber-reamed.
Yes, in a minute and 42 seconds by Francis Ngannou.
It was insane. I mean, I watched the fight and I watched the replay because we had a couple friends at the event. So, of course, they were like illegally like Facebook right. Live. Can't stop the internet, brother.
Nope. Can't stop, won't stop. Right.
And I was watching it and I was in a deer stand. I go, oh, that's what I did. Which if you're a hunter, that's not good when you're just, but I thought he killed the guy. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't get on my phone for a couple hours. Overeem's dead. Rest in peace.
Right. R.I.P. Overeem. And all the deer probably were like, oh, he's probably watching the Ngannou fight. Let's give him
right. Yeah, Overeem got effed up. He's probably watching that real quick.
So very quickly after that, you get Francis Ngannou and Stipe for a championship. That is at UFC 220, which is super exciting. And I think the world is like beyond fired up for that, to number one, see Stipe back, and two, to see what happens with this fight. And what's interesting is I was thinking on Monday when I was rewatching some of the fights that if we go back 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, we were talking about, hey, wouldn't it be interesting to see two up and comers, Francis Ngannou and Lewis Black, going at it, because those two guys at that moment were heavyweights that people were talking about. And here we are 8 months later, and it's the Francis Ngannou show. And I mean, say what you want about Stipe, he is going to be faster than Ngannou, but dear God, that punch, you need to stay the hell away from that thing. And I think the craziest thing I read this week, Ken, was that Ngannou had to pull punches during training camp because that was the only way he could keep training partners healthy.
That's an interesting dynamic. That's old Mike Tyson story kind of stuff.
Right.
And I remember back in the day, nobody would spar with Tyson.
Right, because they didn't want to. And then that's a lot of the comparatives that you're getting with Ngannou right now is like, is he the UFC's version of a modern day Mike Tyson? And I mean, after a performance like Saturday night, I would absolutely say yes. I could not be more fired up for this. And this was a great, guys, make no mistake about it. This was a great thing for the heavyweight division. It put a lot of energy back in that division that needed it. Because as exciting as it is to watch Stipe, it's great. I mean, sports storytelling, Ken, you know this. You want the smaller, faster guy to have to go up against a monster like Ngannou. That's a story you want to tell. The smaller, faster guy that has the belt, and here comes this guy who just killed Alistair Overeem to take your belt.
Well, here's the other part we want of this storytelling when we kind of look at this, and this plays in very much to what UFC did with GSP this week and what they did with that division, and we'll talk about that in minutes, is I very much like the fact that UFC is like, we got to pay this off. We got to get it going. We got to get main events set. You know, enough with these guys who are waiting till October, talking about GSP last year in January, giving the announcement that then he'll fight. Enough with these guys saying that they're going to be ready to fight in 4, 5, 6, 7 months. You know what? Francis Ngannou, you didn't take any damage. You fought for 107 seconds. You won a title shot. Cool. Guess what? You're going to fight in 8 weeks. Plenty of time for a camp. We know that's plenty of time for a camp. When did camps get so much longer and bigger and it just stretched out? Because I remember when we started this podcast and Sean Desai would sit in with us every week and we would talk about these camps and he's like, 8 weeks is fine. 8 weeks is plenty. And we've gotten this situation where like 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. And the UFC now is saying, hey, look, you know what? We got to get title fights on. We got to get title fights done. This guy is amazing. He showed us what he can do on this night. And you know what? You're going to fight for the title, not in 3 months, not in 4 months, not in 5 months. You're going to fight in two more pay-per-views yeah. before we see Francis Ngannou again. And I love it. I love the situation. It gives the champ a little more time, which I think you should have that deference to this champ. Yet it gives both of those guys a real camp. But we're going to get back in there and we're going to fight. And we're going to see what happens in the heavyweight division. I don't know if Francis has enough experience to get in there with a guy like Stipe. But hell, we get to see it at this point. And it's not a bad loss for him if he does take a loss. So I'm excited about it. The way they've been aggressive with building the cards is something I think this quote-unquote new UFC is going to need to do. Because we have a new UFC that doesn't necessarily have the superstars. But what they do have is those titles and those championships. And those guys, if they can put them in there on a regular basis, they can keep our interest. You know what I want to do? I want to see Max Holloway in a couple of months, too, after beating Jose Aldo.
Well, and like the way Max Holloway walked Jose Aldo down, like no disrespect to Jose Aldo, because that first round, I'll tell you guys, like that looked like vintage Jose Aldo. But the problem was
he threw all the leg kicks he never threw in the first fight.
The problem was it wasn't enough.
Like, no, not
vintage Jose Aldo wasn't enough on Saturday night. Max Holloway was like ready to walk him down.
We talked to Max, and I said this after the show, and I won't ever really say this on the air just because I never know with these guys, but we talked off the air, and I go, man, we talked to a lot of guys. He sounded ready. He sounded like he was ready to take whatever happened, go in, get it done, and then move up a weight class. Because when we talked to Max Holloway, he was in great spirits, but he had this underlying sense of confidence that we hadn't heard in a lot of fighters we've talked. Last time I remember that kind of confidence was when I talked to Dominic Cruz a couple of years back.
Yep.
Before the big fight against Uriah Faber. I remember talking to Dominic Cruz, and I got that vibe that, man, I love Uriah. I don't think he can do it. And this was the same thing. I said, I love Jose. I don't know if he can do it against Max. I talked to that guy on the phone, and it just felt like that guy was dialed in and ready to go.
Yeah, he was dialed in and ready to go. And I mean, a spectacular performance by Max Holloway. And, you know, I don't know what you do with a guy like Jose Aldo, because what you were just saying about Francis losing to Stipe, and to go back, I was talking about Derek Lewis, not the comedian Lewis Black. So I just want to confirm before you send me terrible emails, that's who I was talking about. But like,
I've got him over Lewis Black. Like, he's a big favorite.
All day.
He's a Mayweather over Conor favorite, at least.
But so, like, if Francis loses to Stipe, not a bad loss, right? Like, Jose losing to that Max Holloway, it's hard to take that as a bad loss just because of how great Max looks, except for the fact that Jose has lost three of his last four, right?
That's the problem. Half the podcast last week was talking about the fact that, man, this is a bold move by Jose. Because you know what a smart move by Jose is, really, guys? I mean, if you want to look at this as a fight game and look at this as prize fighting and cashing checks, Jose Aldo takes two or three fights that he can win, that he will win probably easily because he's Jose Aldo, because Conor McGregor's out of the division, and then he takes a big money Max Holloway fight. He wanted right back in, and we said this was a risk, and I've got all the respect in the world for the dude, but the guy's just been knocked down. I haven't looked up his ranking yet. Take his ranking, guys, and subtract five. Because he lost to the champ twice. It doesn't matter where he is. If he's three, if he's four, if he's five, add five to it. Because that's how much harder the work is now. Because you've taken two losses to the champion decisively at this point. We knew it was a risk. I respect the hell out of the guy for taking the risk. But we knew that that was going to be the thing that could happen if he lost to Max Holloway again. All the respect in the world for taking that risk. But, man, he has cost himself, I think, a lot of money at this point.
Well, and like, the rankings as they are currently still have him at number one, which is clinically insane. But you've got, like we were talking about, Cub Swanson at four and Brian Ortega at six are fighting tomorrow night in a main event that could put one of them up against Max Holloway. You've got the, I'll call it a rematch. It's not really a rematch, but, like, Frankie Edgar and Max Holloway after Saturday night, I mean, I would love to see that fight if Max wants to stay there. If Max wants to go up, go for it. Although, after Saturday night, lightweight is a little bit of a dumpster fire because you've got some issues there. One, your two stars who tried to kill each other on Saturday night are going to be out for a minute because they tried to kill each other in Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje.
Oh, Justin Gaethje. That was three rounds of hell right there.
That was the, I mean, look, there was another great fight on that card for sure between Yancey and the other cowboy.
Alex Oliveira.
There you go. Alex Oliveira.
the other cowboy.
You know, which was
they
an
both have hats.
You know, which was an amazing. Well, no, they're both their nicknames are cowboy, but which was an amazing
cowboys
fight.
Cowboys wear hats, Eric.
I got
that's the joke.
I'm following you.
You went like 12 deep in with some dude that beat Pacquiao like 50 years ago.
Jeff Horn. It was 4 months ago, but okay.
I can make a cowboy hat joke.
Okay, fine. You've got
What? Manny Pacquiao fought 4 months ago. You buried the lead, brother.
You've got Barboza and Nurmagomedov locked up. And as we talked about at the top of the show very briefly, Tony Ferguson is now out with elbow surgery. So Conor is now boxing. Your interim champ is out with, elbow surgery. Nurmagomedov, assuming he makes weight against Edson Barboza, that's already locked up. And Gaethje and Alvarez, like, they're going to be out for a minute. So if Max was to go up, there's really no reason for him to do it right now because there's no one for him to fight. So what I would love to see is him and Frankie Edgar, because I think that when you talk about styles makes fights, after what we saw on Saturday night, I would love that fight.
Yeah, the only interesting thing is it's always been one of those deals with Frankie Edgar where you don't think he's going to win, and he goes in and wins, and you just mess that division up again. That's been Frankie Edgar's MO. It's like every time we get Frankie Edgar his go-away fight, like put him against that top guy in the division, like, hey, man, you've had a great career, buddy. You've done a good job. He comes in and he whoops ass,
right.
And then all of a sudden the division's flipped over.
All right, Frankie, it took us 6 months to figure out how to get gloves on a Wolverine, but we did that. So on Saturday night, you're going to fight a Wolverine with gloves. Good
luck
to you.
He subs him in 2 minutes. He doesn't sub him in 2 minutes. He takes damage for 2.5 rounds, and then he comes back in the fourth round. That's
right.
Frankie we all know and love.
So really quickly, I do want to talk about the Eddie Alvarez-Justin Gaethje fight because, I don't even know what was going on in that fight.
I've only seen parts of it. I didn't watch it all the way through.
Well, so I will say that, like, the way that Eddie Alvarez had a plan and had a strategy in order to win this fight, and the way in which he won this fight, like, his ability to take both of the men's ability to take damage was stunning. But Eddie's ability to take damage while going down to the body, going straight. I mean, this was old school or new school, depending on how much of a Diaz fan you are. This is straight Diaz strategy. Hit him in the body, power them down, power them down, power them down, power them down, and then take their head off. And, you can say what you want, guys, but taking that much damage to the body by Justin, the KO to the head, while surprising at the time that you're watching it, I think makes a lot more sense in view 2 or 3 as a spectacular performance by Eddie Alvarez. Now, that's taking nothing away from Justin, because at any point, Justin could have ended that fight because he was destroying Eddie's legs and taking away half of what Eddie could do. So this is why you book these two guys, and this is why you would love to see these two guys again at some point, in the same way that tomorrow night you've got Brian Ortega and Cub Swanson. Those two guys are going to go at it too. That's what you love about the lighter weight fights. And while they got booed out of the arena, I don't know, like, nothing coming after Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje was going to do justice. So Henry Cejudo and Sergio Pettis could have come at each other.
Oh, you mean,
with,
okay.
You know,
I was like, they didn't get booed out, but
no,
you're talking about the Cejudo fight?
Like,
yeah.
They could have come out with flaming swords and still got booed out of the building.
But they did not. Just to be clear, they did not come out with flaming swords. I really like Henry Cejudo. I was all in on the stupid thing with the DJ backstory and all that, with the Olympian. That's the only time I've been interested. So I do like Henry Cejudo. That's a tough fight to watch and then go, oh, cool, I'm in on another DJ rematch. I don't know.
I mean, look, like, that's the problem that you have with Demetrius Johnson right now, is that you've got, you know, and we've talked about this, right? Conor has ruined the equilibrium of the whole organization, in that TJ Dillashaw doesn't really feel like defending his belt. He wants to go fight Demetrius Johnson, right? Demetrius Johnson is like, I'm not really sure about that whole thing. I'd much rather pick apart the 9 guys that I fought for the last 3.5 years, because
right.
That seems way more fun.
It's like that dude that just doesn't let go of Mario Brothers. Like, he keeps eating it, like, only, yes, but slightly quicker each time.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
I get it. You jump through the ceiling. You warp through. Yeah, great. Why don't we play a different game? No, I'm really good at this one.
I'm really awesome at this one.
DJ.
And so when you've got that all locked,
it would be Halo with his sponsorship.
Right. It clearly would be Halo at this point. But, like, okay, when you've got that set up, yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to see him fight Henry Cejudo again. He'll destroy Henry Cejudo. There's no one at flyweight I want to see DJ fight. However,
how about a lady, like old school WWE, right, Jeff Jarrett and China?
No, that's not, I don't want to see that either.
Like bigger lady fights Demetrius Johnson. Ronda Rousey, Demetrius Johnson.
No, not even close.
No?
Although,
at WrestleMania.
Yes, at WrestleMania. I would be down with that. But, like, great great Jeff Jarrett reference, by the way. But I would say, like, you don't want to see Henry Cejudo because that just doesn't make any sense. At the same time, we are tired, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. We are tired of the champs at their given divisions. I'm talking to you, George St. Pierre, right? Like, not defending these belts. So if we allow TJ to be like, yeah, I won that belt, hooray, not going to defend it though, I'm going another direction to fight DJ and see what happens. Oh, and then I'm going to win that belt. Oh, and then I'm going to retire, right? Like, then I'm done. Because that's what we do these days.
It's definitely a weird dynamic to kind of look at these divisions. But I do really think, and we can move on here a little bit to George St. Pierre, because you brought it up, and I do think the UFC is getting more aggressive. Obviously, they're not going to get aggressive with Conor McGregor. They're going to let him hold that division up as long as he wants. But a guy like GSP, cool. Glad you came back. Glad you won. Oh, wait, you can't fight? Cool. You know what? In two pay-per-views, your belt is up for grabs, and you want it back, you're going to have to come back and get it. And he's saying he's not sure if he wants to come back and fight the winner of Luke Rockhold and Robert Whittaker.
Yep.
That's the fight, right, we've got?
Which is a no, right? Like,
it's No, you don't come back against that.
It's a no. It's a big, fat no. I don't even think he would come back if Luke Rockhold, and I think that's a big if. If Luke Rockhold wins this fight, he's not even going to come back against Luke Rockhold.
I think Luke's going to win this fight. I think this is going to be one of those situations where Luke learned a little bit of a lesson against Bisping. And I'm not saying Bisping's a fluke, because I don't want to be one of those guys. Too many people in this media are those guys. But I think Luke probably learned something from that Bisping fight, and I think I'm actually going to pick him. I think I would pick him in this fight against Robert Whittaker. And we're getting close to picks, because you know what? UFC's saying, hey, we need title fights. You guys are freaking fighting. 221, boom, you're on the card.
Yep.
So we're going to see that fight within, what, 8 weeks?
Yeah, because you're going to see your New Year's Eve card is Cyborg and...
Or 12 weeks, excuse me.
Yeah, your New Year's Eve card is Cyborg and Holm and Edson Barboza and Nurmagomedov, assuming he makes weight. And then, yeah, I mean, you're off to the running with Stipe and Nagano. And then after that, you get this one. Which is what they need to be doing. They need to be moving this stuff forward. And that's why when we talked to Max Holloway last week, I asked him, like, you fought two times the last 2 years. Do you want to be busier? And while he did take some damage in that first round, and his birthday was on Monday, I'm sure he's taking some time off for the holidays. You and I would love to see him on that Super Bowl card. I would love to see that fight.
And I think you got to do that. I think you got to play off the fact that you've just had guys fighting not too long ago. I'm not saying put these guys in there 4 weeks after they fought. I'm not saying be Michael Bisping, which I think a lot of smart people asked a lot of smart questions about after his loss.
Even he did this week, right? Like, even this week, he was like, this was a bad idea. To be honest with you,
why didn't anybody stop me? I'm a fighter, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Somebody else has to tell me no.
Yeah. And all those things are great questions. And I honestly thought that podcast was probably the most Michael Bisping thing ever, where he's like, I'm not interested in going back to being champion, because clearly he knows that ship has passed. I just want to have a fun fight or two, and then I'm done, right? But that Gastelum thing.
He said that like 4 years ago, and he ended up being champion. Michael Bisping could be the guy who wins like a belt at 45 just because he keeps worming his way through the division.
Very well could. But, you know, at some point, he's 38 years old. At some point, you got to hang it up. I just thought he had some great things to say this week about,
keep fighting, Mike.
No, don't.
You can see in two directions. Other fighters can't. That's got to be an advantage.
Yes. if we could now get gloves on a koi fish, that would be somebody you need to look out for.
Michael Bisping, he can see around the whole cage all at once.
360 degrees.
Yeah, that's right.
At all
times.
Yeah, I
mean, that sounds like a UFC show. UFC 360, and it's just Michael Bisping looking around a room without moving. He just stands still and tells us what's in a whole room. Oi, oi, you got a TV in the back corner there. I see that.
For those of you wondering, friends, this show is a lot better with Irish whiskey. It's clearly a lot better with Irish whiskey.
Michael Bisping 360, just sitting there drinking like we are.
Yep, 100%.
I can see everything, yo. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Not even sure where to go with that, actually.
But, well, let's jump to the Robert Whitaker fight because he's going to be taking on Luke Rockhold.
I mean,
he's the interim champion. I said this a couple weeks ago because you were worried about GSP winning, but I will give you credit. You called the fact that, hey, man, GSP might win, and then he might just disappear. Boom, what happened?
Well, I mean, when you're in the middle of the – look, and this is what I said 2 weeks ago, guys. When you're in the middle of the octagon and Joe Rogan slams that thing in your face and the very first thing you say is, I don't want to do that again – I immediately go, if you're scared of Michael Bisping,
I believe you.
If you're scared of Michael Bisping, like, you are in the wrong division. There are, you know, like, Yoel Romero's over there, and Jacare's over there.
Yeah, he's like waiting to chew on your femur, Yoel Romero. Like, he's just over there waiting to eat you alive.
If Michael Bisping hitting you gave you enough pause for you to not want to do this again, I knew you were never coming back.
Yeah, so it's an interesting – we almost called it, but I did say when we were talking about that, I said, here's the upside. Here's the
who silver lining. Who had the square ulcer colitis? Who had that?
I don't know, man. Montreal needs a better Food and Drug Administration, I think. I don't know if they're letting things pass that shouldn't pass.
Because, I mean,
our buddy Ryan Dempsey's close to Montreal. Can you check on that for us?
For reference, because Ken will love this reference. For reference, guys, like, Brock Lesnar had diverticulitis, meaning he's missing part of his colon and still fought Cain Velasquez. So, like, come on now.
Well, to be fair, though, Canada almost killed Brock, yet he still lives there. I don't understand.
And still fought Cain, missing part of his colon.
Right. He's like, Canada almost killed me. Hey, it'd be a great place to live. So I don't know what that says about Brock. If he's just up for a challenge or what else is going
on. Which is interesting aside. I don't want to spend any time here. I want to go back to what we were talking about. But an interesting aside, Nagano said this week that he would love that fight. That's what he wants
to do. Oh, my God.
That's what he wants to do next.
Hey, look, you know what? You want your $4 billion back? You put Nagano and Brock not even in a cage, like in a pit, and you don't test them. And I will give you $300. I will. You can make me pay $300. I will. If neither of those guys has to test and they're in a pit, I'm paying it. I'll give it to you right now. I'm getting my phone to send the PayPal to somebody.
Go to PayPal.
Who do I send that to?
Right to Dana White.
I'll do it now.
That's how you get it.
So Robert Whitaker, I did say this when we talked about this because you were calling it like GSP's going to peace out. It doesn't matter what happens. And I said, here's a good thing. You've got Robert Whitaker, who's the interim champ. You've got an immediate fight. I don't know, though, the UFC's been weird about making fights. They did the thing I didn't think they'd do, which is go, boom, hey, GSP, pounce on out of here. We don't give a crap about what you're doing. We're going to make this title fight. We've got the guy who a lot of people respect in Luke Rockhold. This is a weird thing about this division, is you've got a guy who a lot of people say lost on a fluke to Michael Bisping. Whether that's fair or not, it's still a perception. It's a little different than when we talk about DC and John Jones, because he lost to John Jones a couple times. Whether or not John was cheating seems irrelevant perceptually sometimes. In this instance, perception is, yeah, Luke lost, but man, if Luke went in there again, he'd beat the crap out of Bisping. That's been the perception, right?
100%.
So to have this fight against the interim champ, I think you can re-legitimize this division fairly quickly, especially since they seem to be moving fairly quickly at this point, and they're not waiting to see if GSP's tummy gets better. They're going to go, okay, we're going to move along. You want to come back, cool, but you can't just hold up the belt right now just because you're GSP. Congratulations, you won your comeback fight. Bye. We're going to keep moving without you at this point.
And this will be a fun fight because, you know, you haven't seen Rockhold since September of this year when he beat David Branch. Prior to that, he fought in June of 2016 where he lost to Bisping. That was when he lost the title. And then his only other loss was to Vitor Belfort. So to me, this is a super fun fight. I don't know that I'm as high on Luke Rockhold as you are, as you're putting Robert Whittaker in Perth, Australia against Luke Rockhold. That seems like a recipe for disaster, but that's me.
Here's the thing I think can happen, though. If Robert Whittaker beats him, all it takes is if there's still doubters after that fight, and I think that could reset most of the division and be okay with most fans, most people that watch. Even if you have doubters, it's only going to take one more fight to get back there. And I feel like we're in this weird situation with DC in that division.
Well,
where
you
don't know what's going to happen.
That one's different, though.
Two big Luke Rockhold wins, and it's reset, right, Eric?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, but I just don't. I don't see these two things as the same, because it's not as if Luke Rockhold lost to Michael Bisping. Michael Bisping then hit a pregnant girl, did cocaine, and got tested for steroids and kept the belt. Right? Like,
you do have a very specific scenario, though. You just laid
out.
Because
you keep saying DC, which is a very specific scenario, and so I think
DC is the other weird thing where you've got a champion who some people don't think is a champion. That's why I say that.
Yeah, well, and
I Tony Ferguson's in the same boat too for some people.
I guess those people,
he just gave me a look, folks.
Well, because I mean,
that's why we Skype this thing, so he can give me those looks.
Well, because I think those guys aren't paying attention, right? Like, when Dana is telling you 800 times, first of all, when Dana does his first media scrum last week in probably 6 months and goes, I don't think Conor's coming back, I think he knows that Conor isn't coming back. Whether or not he knew what the fight was, the fact that he's like, I don't think he's coming back, means he knows they're not doing December 30th. They're not doing February 2nd. They're not doing March 15th. That's not happening.
Yeah, guys, he keeps beating the crap out of refs, so we don't think we can fight anymore.
Right. And Herb Dean won't drop weight to fight him, so we're not really sure what to do. So, I mean, these two scenarios seem different in that I think most people, like myself, knew that GSP was not going to spend very much time at 185, especially when, like I said, night of, he's like, yeah, that was terrible, I don't want to do that again. Okay, well, you're not going to do that. And if you're not going to do that, and you beat Michael Bisping, I don't know that it's the same, like, I don't believe that Luke Rockhold's a contender, or I don't believe Robert Whittaker's the champion. I don't think it's any of that stuff, just because the scenario is different. Right? The nonsensicalness in which Bisping and GSP even fight in the first place, I think, eliminates a lot of that, like, you're not the real champ because you didn't beat GSP.
And again, I think here's the interesting thing. If we would have seen a sensible fight take place, they wouldn't have waited for GSP. And again, I don't necessarily know if it's true or not, because, you know, a fight's a fight. But most people think Michael Bisping would have lost against anybody else before he got to GSP.
Maybe that's true. And remember, guys, just for context, they did book Whittaker, and Whittaker was injured, which is how you got GSP in the first place. However, GSP fighting in a weight class he'd never fought in against Michael Bisping, and then immediately going, yeah, that was harder than I thought, I don't want to do that anymore.
GSP Woodley?
I mean, that makes more sense. Although,
no, it doesn't. It makes no sense.
Well,
Woodley would annihilate him.
Well, that part makes sense too, but at least
kick him in the sensitive tummy, and that'd be
least,
it.
At least GSP held the belt at 170. He'd never fought at 185 ever before, ever.
No, I gotcha. I just see GSP walking in the cage clutching his tummy before anything even happens at this.
The last time he weighed 185 was when he was carrying Patrick Cote into the cage with him to train.
Mm.
Right,
he was in Captain America.
Yes, he might have weighed 185 in Captain America.
He only got 20 minutes, not even, like 10 minutes.
Are you sad about that? Did you think you should get more
time? I don't
know.
I just remember back in the day, if you really want to go old school on these podcasts and dig them out, we thought it was a very exciting thing. Then Balrog was there for like 5 minutes, and that was it. It's like, okay, you missed like a year of fighting for that. Because remember that?
A year of fighting. He missed a year of fighting for that. And then
Captain America for like 6 minutes.
I couldn't help but notice that he is not in the Avengers trailer either. So
No, he did not. He did not make the Avengers trailer, ladies and gentlemen. I keep waiting for the big Balrog return. Is it Balrog? I don't even know who that he is.
It's the Leaper, right? Isn't that what he was called?
The Leaper. Isn't that his name? Balrog, though? The Leaper?
Is that
his
what
name it is? Balrog or something. Balrag? I don't know. I like how you call him the Leaper and act like I'm the guy that doesn't know what's going on with comics. Like,
it's Batrock, the Leaper.
Batrock. Okay, I'm pretty close. You're calling him the Leaper.
I at least got the end of it correct. You called him Balrog.
Anyway, like they killed him off on that goddamn boat. That's like my point.
Like he's a Hobbit character or something.
Well, okay. Because that's so different than the Avengers. Calm down. Calm down. I know you've got your pop vinyls behind you and you're super ramped up about this thing.
Yep. And just for you, because we'll end it on a high note, I still think Justice League sucks, just so you know.
I haven't seen it yet. I got to go watch it. You think it sucks?
It sucks.
You know what? You know what? Hold on.
Sucks.
So, happened to be talking in my other gig about the freaking Batman Superman movie and the fact that it's got like a 12% on Rotten Eggs or whatever the stupid
thing
is. Which is
8% higher than it should have, but okay.
Oh, I know you've seen 8 million terrible movies, like 1,000 times worse.
Which means...
But everybody wants to get all angry about Batfleck. And I'm not totally on board with Batfleck.
I am okay. Let me time out. I am not mad about Batfleck. That's not what makes it. That's not what makes both of those movies hot garbage. What makes both of those movies hot garbage is the fact that both stories suck. Both scripts suck. All of that. I like Ben Affleck. I think he's actually a decent older Batman. Like,
well, calm down, calm down. He grabbed that chick's boob in like 2003.
Well, so clearly he should be fired. I get all that stuff. But as a Batman, I have no problem with him as a Batman.
As a Batman, okay.
As a group of bats, I don't know.
Gal Gadot know you feel this way about Justice League?
Well, to be honest with you, it's the only reason I went is because I'll pay to see her in anything. So there's that.
Is your wife aware of this?
She's 100% aware of this. 100%.
That's Eric's list. It's laminated and it just says Gal Gadot.
It's laminated and encased in concrete and it just says,
right, exactly.
This is it. I'm going all in on this one.
Right. Like, if Gal Gadot ever runs through Eric's neighborhood for some reason, congratulations on Mrs. Hulkring and her single momhood.
Although at one point I think she had Vince Vaughn on her list, who is like in Chicago.
What?
Who's in Chicago like every 10 minutes, so that feels like that would happen sooner, but that's just
me. Especially now.
Especially now.
I mean, especially, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, if you're... Like, I would be disappointed if your wife couldn't knock down Vince Vaughn. I'll be honest with
you. I'll be sure to share that with her.
That's a very complimentary thing to say. No, I mean, feel
she'll be super into that, for sure.
Like Ken said, you could knock down Vince Vaughn, no problem. Like, if you don't, he's disappointed in you. That doesn't seem like a fair list thing. Especially since he kind of fell off the map.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
So there's,
What else do we have in the show?
I've got nothing. I've got nothing. All right, tomorrow night you've got...
Here's the thing I want to say real quick. I think it's very interesting how the UFC is being very aggressive with their main events. I like how they're laying out their main events at this point. I want to see more of this. I think if we rock through 2018 with a championship fight on top of a championship fight on top... Basically what you do is you let your division set up your separation and say, okay, this is going to be the heavyweight fight. When we're not having a heavyweight fight, we have light heavyweight. We have bantamweight. We have this fight. We have this fight. If they can do that, that feels like UFC from years ago, where basically what will put us on is like a 2 to 3 month period for every champion.
Well, and what you're leaning into, Ken, is what we had been talking about when they made the purchase, is that at the time they made the purchase when you've got Conor McGregor, you were 3 months away from Ronda Rousey's return, which clearly didn't go well. You had Jon Jones, you had all that stuff. But we had talked a couple times, if you go back to when the purchase happened with WME, and said, hey, I think now's the time that you need to start rebuilding fighters and rebuilding the sport in the direction of fighters and get away.
Division.
Yes.
And divisions.
And get away from the Chael Sonnen school of Conor McGregor-ness, that's people just talking themselves into nonsensical fights because it's going to bite you someday. And the first 8, 9, 10 months of this year was them being bitten over and over and over and over again. And so the end of this year, you get GSP relinquishing his title. You have Tony Ferguson injured and out of his interim championship, right? With Barboza and Nurmagomedov.
With Conor, who might never fight again, by the way.
With Conor, who might never come back, right? And so you have no choice but to build divisions, because you've got to rebuild stars based on the divisions, not based on this superstar power, because that's not a guarantee, and that's not necessarily the long-term strategy of what this sport is about, right? Even in a world where you've got, if you look at the NBA and you've got Michael Jordan or you've got LeBron James or whoever you want to compare it to, there are also times in those sports where it has to be about basketball. Same with the NFL. It's got to be about football, because you can't rely. Tom Brady isn't going to throw a football for the rest of his life. So what's plan B? Right. Mm-hmm. And this is where the UFC is right now, because you're going to lose Conor forever. If he wins that Pacquiao fight, forget about it. He's never.
Oh, yeah. Back. It's going to be a Magalhães. It's going to be, he's going to go through the random tour of guys you sort of know, and we're going to pay to see. And you and I, it will be a law of diminishing returns. Maybe 2, 3, 4 fights in before we say, we're good with this. But you know what? He'll have made like $250 million before that happens.
Yeah, and he'll, you know, the upside of all of this for him, at least for me, is likely he'll retire healthy. You know, you won't see, Conor McGregor will not be BJ Penn.
Mm, that's true.
Right? Like, and I'm all in on that. Like, somebody who has figured out the business end of it, when we're talking about, like, Ken, when you go through the math with just pay-per-view dollars and the GSP pay-per-view is $75 million, it makes you pause a little bit about the amount in which people are being paid to fight in that organization, right?
And well, so, it does. I mean, it's not unfair. I just want to throw.
I'm not saying it's fair or unfair. I am saying, though, if somebody who has figured out the business end for themselves, you got to root for that guy.
Oh, for sure, 100%. You got to root for that guy, and not only do you root for that guy, but you hope in that situation those guys get in, they get out, and we see other guys do it. Because you talk about BJ Penn, you talk about guys like Diego Sanchez. I mean, that's a guy who's been going a long time. You know, a guy like Michael Bisping, who felt like he had to go back in there 2 weeks after he lost the fight. I don't know how that plays into the health of the UFC, really, when we kind of keep thinking about this division, or excuse me, this promotion and what they're doing as they move forward.
Yeah, but I would say I agree with you. The last 5 days have been exciting for if that's the direction the sport's going. So,
like, I don't ever need to see Overeem again. Sorry to jump in.
No. I would agree, and there. I would love that to be the unintended consequence of this, is some of these guys get retirement quicker because the division that they're in runs by them faster, right?
And I mean, at some point, and we talked about this, and there's a great – have you heard the 30 for 30 about UFC, the first UFC?
No, I have not seen that, no.
They have a podcast, 30 for 30.
Okay.
And I'm a guy, and it was one of those things where I threw on my radio when I was driving back down from hunting a couple weeks ago. I didn't think I was going to learn anything, and it was very interesting, actually. There was a lot of things, even though I was somebody who had paid attention to the sport. And it was kind of interesting to kind of really think about the fact that this sport is still just over 20 years old. We are not to the point yet. At some point, there's going to be 25-year-old dudes that are running every single division. We're not there yet, Eric.
No.
It's pretty amazing if you think about it. That's where every other high-level sport lands. Guys who are 25, 26, 27. Boom. Those are the top guys. We're still, like, floating into the 30s. We're still floating 30, 32, 36. Like, guys like Bisping, who've been around long enough. I mean, in the next couple of years, a lot of these guys are going to be run out because this sport is just evolving in an amazing way. I remember a guy on the podcast talking about the way MMA has evolved in just 20 years. It's the same way you look at the NFL from 1927 until 2000. That's the way MMA's evolved. And we're going to keep seeing that. We're going to keep seeing guys like Francis Ngannou. And we're going to keep seeing guys like Conor McGregor, who are making their own way in this sport. And guys like Tony Ferguson or even Luke Rockhold. Like, they're going to make their way. They're going to get through the division. And then they're going to retire. So it's going to be a very interesting year. I think if the UFC can keep the momentum it looks like we're going to have past UFC 218 into 2018, it's going to be an interesting year. Might not be the most financially viable over the past couple of years, but it could be setting up a great future for the UFC.
Maybe. And I will leave you this with this.
Maybe.
Because I will leave you with this. Look, like, if Nagano beats Stipe, you could get him and your boy back in July, and that's how you make your $1 billion.
Brock Lesnar every year in July.
Every year in July. All right, as always.
Stop being hot every year.
As always, you can follow everything along on Twitter and Facebook by searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. I am Eric Hallgren. That is Ken Evans. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.